Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Most of the farms we hear about these days are those big mega farms, you know, those businesses more than lifestyles. And it's controversial and there's a lot of chit-chat about that. But there is still life on the family farm, the Bennett family farm at least. It's a swimming hole and a barn and cows and chickens, alfalfa and long sledding hills, the kind you find in the foothills of Perry County. Author Michael Rosen chronicled in words and photographs a year in the life of the Bennett family in Our Farm. Four seasons with five kids on one family's farm. Lots of nice alliteration there. Joining us later will be matriarch Becky Bennett and three of her five children. And right now we welcome Michael Rosen to the studio. Welcome to the studio, Michael.
Thanks so much, Ann.
Did you have fun making up that, coming up with that title, or did the publisher help you?
Well, the entire project was enormous fun, partly because there was a great challenge in trying to capture, just as you say, what is life like with kids that range from, you know, 4 to 18 and have a very large plot of land in the foothills of the Appalachians. And, you know, for kids in the city, that was one of the audiences. I wanted to try to make this very vivid world that they don't really know much about. And then for kids in the country who share a life like the Bennetts, I wanted to have a book where they would find themselves, because kids, you know, rural kids aren't often featured in the same way that life in the city is featured.
You said you wanted to put forth a clear and unbiased view of what a contemporary farm family does, and that a lot of the stories out there you felt were very anachronistic and didn't really reflect. There were family farm stories out there, but they were about 100 years ago or 75 years ago.
They were their premise was,
if ever.
Exactly. It was sort of this nostalgic look back at how grandpappy used to do something. Or you see something very juvenile, like this is a dairy cow. There was no motive to do any of that. Instead, I wanted to give people some sense of the physical reality of what it meant to be rural. For example, Chase goes to a high school that pulls kids from 165 square miles. Okay, so here in central Ohio, 11 square miles is the largest, you know. So what does it mean when kids come from that far away that travel that much to do it? What's that say about density? Or the fact that, you know, there are 35 cows, make some manure. Mm-hmm. And that's about 650 tons of manure. And most of that gets picked up. Meaning
by somebody.
Meaning pretty physical stuff, or by some machine.
Right.
And you know, just how implausible it is if you live in the city to think about that core fact of, yeah, this is what we do.
You know, there was an interesting statistic early on in the book that there are 35,000 – now, of course, this was – written a few years ago or published a few years ago. There are 35,246 residents of Perry County at that time, and 30,347 of them were born there. I thought that was a very interesting statistic. What does that reveal to you, Michael?
This was one of the really subtle things that I learned, and that is, despite the fact that there's this great distance, there's also an enormous colligative, you know, neighborly binding, that many of the Bennett's relatives are there and help on the farm. The life there requires others, you know, that amount of distance to cover, that many acres to deal with, that much, you know, just the logistics, being so in tune with nature, the seasons, you know, requires other people. And I think it's that extra effort that makes people not want to leave it. It's, you know, it gets into your blood. Dave often says, you know, the father of the family, mm-hmm. would say, you know, this is not my work. I couldn't afford, but it's my life. You know, yeah. It's the thing that makes the living.
Yeah, there's a beautiful quote, and I thought that I jotted it down. Yeah, he said it's important to him. Oh, no, that's different. Rats. But it was in there was a little short documentary about the project, mm-hmm. and they mention it in that, and it's a beautiful quote about how that's how he makes his living, but he lives on the farm.
Exactly.
So I think is a beautiful thought. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guest is Michael Rosen. He's an author. He's written lots of books for kids. This one, the one that we're talking about now, Our Farm, Four Seasons with Five Kids on One Family's Farm. And we thought, you know, we better get this show on the air soon, because the kids won't stop growing. So we wanted to get a few of them into the studio. And then when we thought about, well, gosh, when are we going to do it? You know, we don't have all the time in the world for that either because school starts next week. So we had to do that very quickly. And we appreciate, Michael, you making it happen for us. What inspired you to look at family farms in the first place?
I grew up in Columbus.
Right.
I lived here for, you know, 45 years. And then I moved to Perry County, just down the street, as it were, from the Bennetts.
About how many minutes away?
It's probably 4 minutes in the car.
From here?
Oh, no. from WOSU Studios, right. It's about 45 minutes away.
Right. Okay.
You know, I'd grown up at summer camps. I was a zoology major. I was always engaged with the natural world and the phenomenon of the seasons changing. But never so vividly as, you know, when I moved into the foothills there. Mm-hmm. And on 100 acres, though I grow nothing other than sort of debt and weeds and so forth.
Did you say debt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I was drawn to the idea of, as I learned more and more about how people and families and schools and social services and hunting, just the different things that influence life in the country, I'm lucky enough that my work can coincide with my interests. So I proposed doing a book that would say, look, let's show kids in the city and let's allow kids in the country to have this genuine depiction of the life.
Here, in this scene from the TV show Our Ohio, which did produce that shorter right. documentary on the book, Michael Rosen described why he wrote the book. Then let's see if it matches what he said now.
I wanted kids who are rural to find themselves in a book because they're not written about. They're not between the lines of any story. And I wanted kids in the city who have no idea what it must be like and to try to understand that however distant that other world seems, you know, to how you live your life, it may only be a county away.
Okay, that was Michael Rosen talking about his book, Our Farm, 4 Seasons with 5 Kids on 1 Family's Farm. Michael, that was pretty close to what you told us earlier, and very good. You get a straight A on that. But I was wondering, as you produced the book, that was why you wanted to do it. In the final analysis, you know,
right.
what really came of it? What really comes of what you've done?
For me personally, it was a very humbling learning experience. I mean, I begin the book by talking about the first time Chase gave me a tour of the farm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of icy and it's slushy. And, you know, at one point, I literally go almost up to my knees in sort of semi-liquid farm. And Chase turns around and says, I should have said that earlier. You know, be careful. These aren't really.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of like a metaphor for how I stumbled into most things. I don't know. I didn't know. Even, you know, do cows have horns because they're male or female? Well, no, they pretty quickly disabuse me of, has nothing to do with that. Do chicks, you know, how quickly do chicks, what chicks are you going to buy? What do you do with it? You know, I had no idea of raising uh-huh. poultry. So I think that premise of, what you think you know, you don't really know. Hold your opinions back. It's very easy to judge. Oh, these are rural kids. They must. And then you fill in the blank with whatever preconceived notion you have. You know, likewise, kids in the country might think, oh, no, the city, it's – you don't want to – and I found that it, for me, was a great challenge, even around the issue, for example, of hunting. I don't hunt. I don't eat mammals. But I didn't bring this to the table – as it were, mm-hmm. for the book. It was a process of meeting all the kids, dad, during the seasons when rabbit hunting with the beagle and deer hunting was, you know, was very much a part of Perry County life. And I needed to find a way to present that in an unbiased way.
If you have a question, don't be afraid to ask. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can Twitter us at @AnnFisherWOSU, or you can go to All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. I'm not going to run through all that again, but you can do it all. I invited folks on Facebook this morning to particularly if they have kids Lots of times kids ask the best questions, and when we return, we'll have some kids on the show, and sometimes they ask the best questions, and a lot of times they give the best answers to questions.
Great.
So if your kids are listening, have them participate and give us a call or email us, anything like that, anything you want to do like that. We'd love to hear your questions and comments. Michael, there's a disclaimer at the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
The don't try this at home disclaimer.
Yeah.
So, which frankly, I was thinking about, wow, I've been on farms before and I know they can be, I don't want to say dangerous.
Oh,
because
no,
it's
you
all
say dangerous.
It's all about knowing what you're doing. But tell us about that.
Oh, no. In fact, the number one rated dangerous occupation is farming.
Yeah.
And the fact that what's natural to these kids, to farm life, whether it's – well, I had a not pleasant conversation with the government, as it were, because I thought, well, gosh, lots of agricultural connections and bureaus and farm bureaus and so forth would love to have this book as a – but in fact, there are issues of safety that you have to raise your right hand and pledge to. And that wasn't the natural – so running on these beautiful – you know, around bales that are lined up that in kind of like an impromptu athletic court. No, we cannot have kids on top of that. Kids climbing in a hayloft. No, we can't have kids up. You know, it's like, well, okay, but this is not, we can't have kids in a swimming hole that is, it's like, okay. But this is the life that,
right.
that is lived. But as you suggest, it comes with that very wearied, warned sense of responsibility. These kids know all about what's dangerous and how to avoid it. They have a golf cart, and all the kids have driver's licenses that say, hey, you know what? If you want to drive this at age 12 or whatever, these are the rules, and I'm going to revoke your license if I see you, you know, jumping over.
If you survive jumping over right. something. I, of course, love the duct tape on the hay bale story, and we can get to that when we return because that's probably one of my favorites of all. And we will when we return, and we'll also get to calls and emails and Facebook messages if you want to send them to us and give us a call, 614-292-8513. My guest is Michael Rosen. When we return, we'll have Michael with us again and also Gray Bennett and his mother, Becky Bennett. So stay tuned. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Hear more from WOSU anytime at WOSU.org. Subscribe to podcasts of Arts Unscripted and reviews of the latest books, movies, local restaurants, and theater performances. Podcast stories from WOSU Arts and Culture contributors. And now featured in our Arts and Culture section, a book review by WOSU book critic Cassie Rose of The Personal History of Rachel Dupree. You can listen to that online at WOSU.org. In the Arts and Culture section. And it's 75 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:19 this morning. Clouds this afternoon, clouds throughout the day, a slight chance of rain, a high of 83. Clear skies tonight and a low of 63. Sunshine for tomorrow and a high of 88. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the Bennett Family Farm in Perry County. You were listening to, and he has returned to talk about it, Michael J. Rosen, author of the book Our Farm, Four Seasons with Five Kids on One Family's Farm, joining us now, Becky Bennett, the matriarch of the family. Becky, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And also Gray Bennett. Gray, glad you could be with us. Gray's way over there. Okay. Well, we need to fix that mic, I think. And maybe get the mic closer to your... There you go. How you doing, Gray?
Good.
You can move that closer to you. There you go. Sorry about that. We've got a full studio today, so we're using mics that don't get a lot of use. So, Gray, thanks for your patience with us today. I want to... Here, another scene from that TV show, Our Ohio, and it is about your dad talking, David, David Bennett, talking about what committing to the project would mean.
My initial response was absolutely not, because I don't have time to pose when I'm working. My wife disagreed with that.
I said, I'm sorry, too late. I already said yes. And then Michael and Dave sat down and talked.
And when Michael talked to me, he basically said, I don't care what you think. I want to know what your kids think. And he assured me that he wouldn't be in my way. So that's how it all got started.
Becky Bennett, is that kind of how it turned out?
Pretty much. I remember the conversation. I don't remember where David was, but Michael approached me about the idea, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe, you know, you're going to do this. This is amazing. I was very excited about it. And then I explained it all to David, and he's like, I don't think so. But once it was all said and done, once he sat down and talked to Michael, he's like, okay, I think it'll be all right. And then once we got a little further into the project, he was just thrilled. He loves it, too.
Yeah, he was quite a star.
He was terrific. And I think the big thing that needed to be clear was we didn't stage any photographs. There was no real posing for things. In fact, the nature of the images that I took were meant to be just on the spur of the moment. Dave would call and say, hey, we're having a calf born if you want to come out. And here it would be midnight, no lighting, me trying, you know, a fairly amateur version of capturing something. And likewise with the kids, you know, Gray would say, oh, hey, come over here. We found these salamanders under the rock. And I'm like, okay, let's just show me. And that was pretty much how the character of the book and the writing came about, that same spontaneity.
Gray, how old were you when Michael started working on the book?
I think 6.
Yeah. How old are you now?
11.
Do you remember a lot about that? Yeah?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of the book?
Sled riding.
Yeah, I like the sledding story, too. Tell us about that, because it makes me want to go sledding in Perry County this winter. Sled story?
Well,
there's not a story. It's just about sledding, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sled a lot. We have our friends over all the time sledding. We have lots of sleds, and we have pretty big hills.
The hills are very long, too.
And your driveway, man, just the ice on the gravel driveway is like a flume.
That's right. I think that's Allie's favorite place to sled, I think she said in the book.
Yeah, when they drive down, it makes this little ice circle thing where the sled fits perfectly in it, and it slides, and you slide really far.
Kind of like a, what do you call those kind
tobogganing.
Of tobogganing, yeah. Or something like that. Yeah. Now, you lived on the farm your whole life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sledding's the best part. What about the farming part of it? Are you into the farming part?
It's fun at times, but then there's some times that it's not very fun because you have to either clean up or you have to do the dogs in the midnight or something, and just sometimes it's not very fun.
Yeah, dogs in midnight. So, that's kind of like anything anybody does isn't always fun all the time. The sledding sounds like a lot of fun, and you have a swimming hole.
Yes.
Do you like to go in that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How big is it?
It's 26 feet deep and fairly wide.
It's about an acre and a half.
Acre and a half. Oh, that's pretty big. What was it like when Michael first started interviewing you all? Did it change over time, Becky?
A little bit, just as the seasons changed. And, of course, the kids grew a little bit. We tried to kind of keep everybody close to the same, you know, while we were doing the questions. But at first it was kind of like you tried to give the right answer or something. But the more the kids got to know Michael, the more comfortable he got with them. It was obvious they were just talking to him, and they didn't even think about the fact that he was doing this book. It was just,
right.
This is just life for us.
Yeah. You know, you always feel like you got to come up with the right question, like it's a test or something. Did it feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you? Yeah. Michael, when did you know the family had gotten relaxed? Because you've said that the Bennetts are natural storytellers.
Yeah.
Did you know that going into the project?
I did. Okay. I mean, I chose them partly because I was easy with the kids. They had a good rapport with me, and, you know, I just, you know, basically adored them. But aside from that, I think I knew that moment when I would come over and the kids would be clamoring, doing whatever things, and Kane would say, hey, Chase, you better go upstairs and change. You've got on a logo T-shirt. So they kind of fell into this idea that, hey, I'm here. We're going to talk. We're going to take pictures. And we really don't want a giant Nike brand advertising, you know, throughout the book. So there was that kind of fun thing. And then also those moments when I'd arrive and, you know, literally there are three or four people saying, hey, you want to come out and see, we just got this, or hey, come over here, we found this very cool grapevine tree that we can like swing from, and wouldn't that be a good picture? It's like,
wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be great.
Becky, could you kind of list your family and give us a little quick thumbnail of each of the kids and your husband?
David is a plumber farmer. He was born near Perry County and has lived in Perry County for most of his life. Our oldest son, Caleb, is 21 now. He's a student at OUZ. Chase is here today. He's 18. He's a senior this year at Sheridan. Kane couldn't be with us today. He is going to be an eighth grader at Sheridan. He's the most active of the family. He's the one that you kind of got to put your thumb on once in a while. He loves life. He loves to laugh. He loves to have a good time. He's got several teachers that call him Smiley. Gray's with us today. He's going to be a fifth grader. He's ornery, but, you know, being the youngest of four boys, he kind of has to fight for what he wants, and he doesn't have a problem doing that. Allie is eight. She's going to be a second grader this year at Glenford. She's the youngest of, you know, as the only girl, she has to be a little bit tough, too, but she's pretty close to the boys. She gets along pretty well with everyone. And, you know, the kids have really figured out over the years, you got to get along with your brother or your sister, because when we're on the farm, that's who you have to talk to. That's who you have to entertain. So, you know, they all get along pretty well. They have their moments where they really need some space, but that's the good thing about the farm. They can get away from each other
for
a while.
That's life. Yeah. That is so life. And yeah. One of my favorite moments in the book was when Allie said that when she grows up, you know, all the kids are saying what they want to do when they grow up. And Allie said, well, she wants to have, you know, lots of kids, but she wants to have four girls and one boy, you know?
Yeah.
Just a subtle suggestion. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Henry, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. Now, like the author of the book, I am a city person, but I worked as an engineering geologist, and at the end, I worked with livestock farmers. My job was to keep manure, which was placed in ponds, to go down and contaminate groundwater in the bedrock. And I think I was successful at that. But what I'd like to say is I think it's a great idea to have books for kids, except most adults have no concept of a farm. And I learned a little enough to be dangerous, you might say, working with farmers and seeing what they do. One thing that amazed me was how expensive it is to have a farm. If you want to borrow money, you're starting from scratch, from $0. It is extremely expensive. I figured that in order to have a great... See, I worked with a lot of farmers out west in the high agricultural areas. And in order to have a farm, you would have to have at least $1 million in your pocket to start a farm or a grain farm.
Or in Toledo.
And you'd have to have maybe $1.5 million for a dairy farm.
Wow. Well.
That's right.
Let's ask Becky. Henry, thanks for your call.
Well, there's more than that. Hello?
Yeah.
30 years ago, when land was selling for $2,000 an acre in Mercer County, we could not understand how farmers could buy that land and make a living. And that was $2,000 an acre. I figured that in order to have a farm, and based on what I've heard from other people, you had to own at least 350 acres, and you would rent about another 300 acres to farm.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you an idea of some of the cost.
Okay.
Of course, there's equipment, and there were buildings.
Right.
And I think some of this should be put into the book, even though kids may have no concept of money.
Well,
but adults certainly don't.
Right. Good. Good point, Henry. Thanks for your call. You know, that is a good point. And a point I made at the outset was that I don't feel like it is just a children's book. I enjoyed reading it, and I learned something from it. Becky, what do you think? Does it feel like it's a book just for kids?
Oh, absolutely not. I've got a lot of adult friends that really enjoy the book, and they're like, I had no idea that you lived on that kind of a farm. And we were very – I feel so blessed to be able to be a part of that farm because it is vanishing. I mean, there are just not as many family farms because, like the caller said, farm ground is so valuable in other ways, and it's being developed or lotted up in for houses – which is important too, but we were just blessed that this opportunity came our way and we were able to buy it from a family. It was important to them that it remained a family farm.
Peary County seems like one of those counties that's going to get snapped up pretty quickly in the next 20, 30 years, particularly.
In terms of its readability, it's, you know, it's 144 pages. It's pretty densely, you know, a lot of words,
lots of pictures.
400 pictures. So the goal for the publisher really was to create something that really could be read in short bursts by a younger reader that could follow along with pictures. And it's all told with a few exceptions where I sort of come out and set the stage. It's Allie's voice, and then it's Chase's voice, and then it's Kane replying, and then Becky might chime in. And so doing kind of like a oral history through the season. So these are all the things that happen in the spring.
Did you conceive of it in that conversational way before you even started writing? Or did that kind of evolve, the style of the book evolve from the experience of interviewing? And
it was something that I toyed with at the very beginning,
okay.
But it was the solution to the big problem. And that is, I didn't want to be giving the information. If it was coming from the perspective of all the individuals, it would be their take on things. I could frame it. I could set it up. I could coax, you know, and I would say, tell me more about this, or, but wouldn't you be concerned about that? You know, I could do that. But if it was in the voices of the individual members of the Bennett family, it's their accurate depiction of their life, not me interpreting it or judging it or, you know, giving it an unnatural slant.
Gray, do you ever pick up the book and look at it?
Yes, I do, to make sure there's no maybe embarrassing parts in it, and just for fun reading it and see what all they said, because I don't know everything they said. So.
And it takes on different meaning the older you get, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
you understand more of maybe what someone is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about the book did you, as you age, can you give us an example of something that you went, oh, that's what he meant, or now I get that, or that's more interesting, or that's stupid?
There has been some parts that I thought that shouldn't, or it wasn't bad or anything. It was just embarrassing for me that I wish wasn't ever in there.
You want to tell us on radio when thousands of people are listening what those are?
I'm good.
Okay. 614-292-8513. We've got some kids on the show. They know about farming. So if you'd have a question, now's the time because they answer questions very well. Becky, how about you wanted to do the project right away? Your husband didn't, but you resolved that. But what about the kids? Did they want to?
I think pretty much they were excited about it. They're, like Michael has said, they're natural storytellers. They like to talk. We tease occasionally that they could talk the paint off the wall some days. They love their farm. I mean, they love the farm. We've talked about, you know, how special it is that we have this farm. And they do appreciate that. And I think talking to Michael and the questions he asked really made them realize, wow, this is a pretty cool place. And yeah, I think they were on board right from the very beginning. And they knew Michael from school. He spent time at the schools, and I think every one of them had spent time in classrooms with him there. So they were comfortable with him, and I think they were kind of excited about it from the very beginning.
Your husband said in the book that it was important to him how living on a farm helps your kids accept the cycle of life.
Absolutely. I remember thinking that with Michael because, you know, when I cook supper, it's beef. A lot of times it's beef. And the fact that that's a cow, that the boys saw it born, saw it grow, saw it in the fields. And so a lot of times they're even there when we load it on the trailer that takes it to the local meat shop. And that's just nothing unusual for them. And Michael was like, wow, they don't think about the fact that that's the cow that was in the field that they were herding last week. And I guess it's just they were so tiny when we started that they don't think a thing of it. I mean, that's just a part of life. It's important to them that they take good care of those animals. They want them to be well cared for and comfortable, because, you know, in the end, that's part of that's just part of that cycle, and they're going to benefit from the cows being healthy.
Gray, you don't name all the livestock, but you do name a few animals.
Yeah, some of the very good ones, that when they have very good calves, we name those because we just like them better because they have nicer calves. And, yeah.
Can you give us a name of one of the – is it Daryl or
– Daryl, yes, it's Daryl. He was one of our best cows we've had, like, to that's had babies and calves.
Well, she. Yeah. But, you know, I get confused, too. Daryl, why'd you name him Daryl? Her, Daryl.
I'm not really sure. I wasn't the one who named him.
There was
a
reason,
Dad.
But I can't remember what it was. Becky, do you remember?
I think it was the person we bought him, bought her from.
Logical.
His name was Daryl. And this cow was just so friendly. I mean, if you were walking through the field, she just came right up beside you and wanted you to scratch
her
head.
And her calves were the same way.
Oh, yes. They were so curious. Dave said different times that it was almost annoying because they were so friendly. They just were interested and curious and didn't realize that they were so big.
Yeah, when you're driving by and you're not used, you don't really know much about farms, and you see the cows, they look cute and kind of fluffy. But not all cows are that friendly. He's been introduced yet. So not all cows are that friendly, though, are they, Greg?
No. One knocked my dad down, and he was about to get stomped on, but he scrambled under the fence before he could.
Yeah, that was cow number 8.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a story. And I think Chase was there when that happened. So when Chase comes on, I think if he was there, then we can get into that in more detail when we come back. We're going to take a break right now. You can give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about the Bennett Farm family from Perry County. The name of the book about them is called Our Farm, 4 Seasons with 5 Kids on 1 Family's Farm. It's by Michael Rosen. He's with us today as well. If you have a question or comment, you can also go to All Sides with Ann Fisher's Facebook page. When we return, we'll be joined by Allie Bennett and Chase Bennett, and Becky Bennett will return as well, and we'll hear about knee football. You've always wanted to know what knee football is, and now you'll find out. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Natasha Trethewey talks about her new memoir, Beyond Katrina, a meditation on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. It's about how the hurricane damaged her family, as well as the area they lived in. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. See the new lineup of public affairs programming Friday nights from WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record at 8:30. Continuing at 9 is the McLaughlin Group, and at 9:30 PBS presents Need to Know, a new program with an innovative broadcast and web approach to news gathering and reporting. Watch the new public affairs lineup every Friday night beginning at 8 on WOSU-TV.
Support for WOSU comes from Columbus College of Art and Design. Creative Futures begin in Saturday morning art classes for children and youth starting September 25th. Information and online registration at www.ccad.edu.
This is WOSU 820 NPR News. 76 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:40 this morning. Clouds throughout the day and a slight chance of rain, a high of 83. Clear skies tonight, a low of 63 degrees. Sunshine tomorrow and a high of 88. All Sides continues on WOSU.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest, Michael Rosen, he's the author of Our Farm, 4 Seasons with 5 Kids on 1 Family's Farm, and the matriarch of that farm, Becky Bennett, and also with us now, Chase Bennett and Allie Bennett. Welcome to the show, Chase.
Thank you.
And Allie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. We do have a cut from the TV show Our Ohio, the little documentary about the book, about cow number 8. The Bennett children know about the hardships of farming. They also know the farm can be a dangerous place. Let's hear that.
One cow number 8 pushed my dad down this summer. Dad took along a bucket of grain to occupy number 8 while he walked over to her new calf. A cow will usually eat and ignore dad while he makes sure the calf is healthy and tags it. But number 8's calf let out a bawl, and her mother charged dad and knocked him over.
She got me right in the center of my chest with her head, and I fell right over. But I was able to kick at the cow with my boots and scramble under the fence before she could kick me or trample me. You don't want 3/4 of a ton of any cow standing on you.
Yeah, we're selling number 8 this year.
Well, that was Kane Bennett and his father David Bennett talking about cow number 8. And one thing I liked about the book, because I like to laugh, is those little, yeah, we sold cow number 8 this year. We're going to sell cow number 8 this year. Was that you talking?
Yeah.
Okay, Chase. So that wasn't your brother Kane.
The last comment of, yeah, we're selling number 8.
Was Chase.
Yeah, that was Chase.
Okay. Chase, there's another story that was probably my personal favorite from the book, if you're forced to have a favorite, and it's the bales of hay that you made a fantastic discovery about. Why don't you tell us that story?
Well, the hay was wet, and Dad didn't want to bale it wet, so what he did was he paid extra money to bring out a wet wrap baler so it would get the bales and it would completely seal it in this wet wrap.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second just so people will know. These are these
enormous round
bales, not the small 70-pound square bales.
Right.
So these are big, hefty guys.
These are the big ones you see out in the fields, and you always wonder, if you ever wondered what that white stuff was on them, Chase is telling us.
Yeah, and so that would keep it sealed, and so the hay would kind of ferment and just smell really bad, and so it would keep it airtight.
It would build up gases.
Yes, it would. And the big thing, after baling hay, they would take it and stack it, and then me and Caleb, the first thing we'd do was play on it and run around on it. Well, my dad had told his business partner to make sure his son stays away from him, because if he didn't want any holes in it, I guess. Well, me and Caleb didn't get that memo, and we were running around on the bales, and we accidentally poked a hole in it, and it made, as we had thought, a farting noise.
And that's hilarious, isn't it?
It was really funny. We really got a kick out of it. Then we had 28 more bales to go. So we took sticks and we're like, we just kept going. And then we see Dad coming down the hill. And we're like, Dad, you won't believe it. This makes the greatest noise ever. And he wasn't laughing too hard when he saw us poking holes in him. And we got in a good bit of trouble, and we went up to bed that a little bit early that night without dinner.
One way to learn, huh?
Yeah.
Except it's a great story. You know, do you laugh about it now, Becky?
Oh, yeah. Dave can laugh about it now, too.
all the holes got duct taped shut.
Right,
so
that's right. Now, then they had a picture in the book that shows the duct taped holes.
That's right.
He made you do that?
No, he took care of it. We were upstairs in our beds.
He didn't want you to get anywhere near the bales anymore.
No.
Right. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guests are Chase Bennett, his mom Becky Bennett, Allie Bennett, and also Michael Rosen, who wrote a book about the Bennett family and their farm in Perry County. We have an email from a listener. Writes, do the kids think much about whether they would like to farm and whether they will be able to farm with so much tillable land being turned into housing developments? Chase?
Well, I know that when I get older, I do want to be close to farming. I really don't know what I want to do yet, but there's always the option of getting a smaller piece of land and just having a couple cows or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it does kind of concern me when I see all the farms in Perry County. Some of them get sold and just completely split up into housing developments or something like that. It does kind of concern me. But I think there will still be enough farmland.
Allie, do you want to live on a farm when you grow up?
Yes.
What are your top 2 favorite things about living on a farm now? What was your favorite thing?
Swimming.
Okay. The water hole again. The swimming hole, yeah.
You're also pretty good with the chickens. You just like to spend a lot of time feeding the chickens and working with the little chicks and things.
Do you get to collect the eggs, Allie?
Sometimes.
Do you like that?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there's the controversy in the cities now about people who keep chickens, you know, just little flocks of chickens for eggs and stuff like that. Are chickens filthy and stupid, or is there more than meets the eye when it comes to chickens? What do you think?
Usually filthy and stupid.
Well, you know, it's an honest answer, yeah, Chase. Do chickens have personalities? People try to say they do. Some people think they do.
Roosters definitely have personalities. I don't know about the hens. The hens are just kind of laid back. You know, they eat and they get through life. But roosters, they're a whole different story. They walk the walk and they talk the talk and don't mess with them pretty much. They've got the,
I remember the first tour, Chase was saying, now those two, you want to give them a, you want to stay away from them because they are mean. I'm like, what, mean chickens?
How
what
mean?
Kind of place is this, mean chickens? He's like, trust me.
614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call. And Mike, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm really enjoying this show. it's bringing back memories for me of about 50 years ago, and I grew up on a farm in northern Ohio, and me and several of my friends, four or five of my friends, we helped do a lot of work on the farm, and everything we did, we made a game out of it. I'm talking about the baling the hay, and I'll give you a disclaimer. Don't to the farmer, don't let your kids do this, but
okay.
From the barn,
safety.
And we were supposed to put them away, and we did. But as we put them away, we left spaces between the bales, and so essentially as we built the haystack, created a three-dimensional maze in the hay that then we would go in and play afterwards and play hide-and-go-seek in there. That had hidden entrances and tunnels.
Mike, Chase is nodding. Chase, you know this routine?
Yeah, up in the hayloft, we usually waited until afterwards, but we'd just take the bales and build little forts, and that was one of my favorite things.
Well, it all came to an end when my friend's father was walking around on the hay bale, and he walked into one of the right over one of the tunnels and fell through.
Oh my God! Yeah, those grown-ups. Mike, thanks for your story. Thanks for calling. 614-292-8513. And Bill, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was wondering if the family might share some 4-H experiences with us.
Are you guys 4-Hers?
Mm-hmm.
We used to be. Mm-hmm. We were in the 4-H club, and we took pigs to the fair, and it's really hard to keep up with when you're playing baseball and football and so we kind of had to get out of it, but I did really enjoy 4-H, spending the week down at the fair, and it was a good character building experience. I had to raise my own pigs and take care of them, so it was a really good experience.
Well, thank you for that.
Thanks, Dave, for your call.
Okay,
sure.
get in a quick thing. I spent part of a summer on a farm out in Indiana, and we were baling, and in one of the bales, the wire caught, I guess it was a black snake, and, of course, broken back and so forth. And when we took the bales into the barn on the conveyor to the boys up on top to stack them,
mm-hmm.
we made sure that the snake was showing on top. that caused quite a few comments and commotion.
Good prankster, babe.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good
for
job.
Thank you for your show.
You bet. Thanks for listening. 614-292-8513. And Dave, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Dave Bennett?
I just wanted to express I'm still not happy about those hay bales that they claimed I was okay with.
Are you always nervous with the kids at the farm a little bit?
Not anymore.
Okay.
I think when they were younger, I think we were more concerned about what they were into. But they've been around it long enough now that I'm pretty comfortable with it.
Well, Dave, now that I have you on the air, what's your favorite part of the book? What kind of surprised you or happily surprised you? Or
well, one of my favorite parts of the book is probably one of the saddest parts of the book. When it talks about our original Angus, our dog that herded the cattle. The portion that that Michael put in there about what he did and how he went.
Let's listen to that right now, Dave, because we happen to have that cut from the that little documentary.
Okay.
Hang on for a sec.
He was just an amazing dog. Angus lived to serve us working with cattle. When you lose that animal, it makes it a little harder to bear because it's almost like losing a family member.
When Angus was dying, he took his front legs, that was all that he could move, and climbed up onto my dad's feet. But he was looking over at the cows, down at a new calf, and my dad knew he wouldn't ever be able to see the cows again.
You know, Dave, that was probably one of my favorite parts, too, because if you love dogs and you've lost a dog, then, you know, it just gets tears in my eyes just listening to it all over again.
Well, and he was the kind of dog that he lived for our family also. There was never a moment that the boys were out and about that dog wasn't just right beside him. Exactly. And then when we were in the fields working, that's just how he was. So, yeah, it was a tough loss.
And when you asked where the calves, where the cows, he could really distinguish between those two questions.
Oh, yeah, he absolutely knew. If you asked him where the calves were, he took you directly to them, whether they were born 2 hours earlier or the day before. He kept track of all of them. So he was pretty amazing.
And I learned something through all that is that the cows will hide their newborns.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. The moment they have them, it's kind of like deer in the fields. They put them down, and without a dog that knows where they're at and how to find them, they're literally impossible to find. So he was a pretty special dog.
Dave, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
So glad you joined the show.
All right. We'll see you.
Take care. Got a few more minutes, and Becky Bennett, your little... It's funny how it brings back all the memories again, doesn't it?
Yeah, he was an amazing dog. He loved the kids. He was kind of one of those once-in-a-lifetime dogs.
When you look back at the book, do you pick up the book and look at it?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you get out of it now?
I think I get how quickly my kids are growing. I mean, everybody realizes that, but looking back at those pictures, Michael really captured so many moments that I might have forgotten. And so I treasure that book and the fact that it made me really appreciate how special things are on my farm, because it's just not something that everybody gets to experience. And I try really hard to make sure that my kids appreciate how special our farm is and just everything about being out there and the friends and family that we share our farm with. And it's just everything about it is special. And it just flipping through that reminds me.
Do you think it would have been different if Michael had only visited for a season or a few weeks? I mean, doing it for the whole year, not only was the photography gorgeous, Michael, and beautiful the way it captured the winter and the fall, but things change in a year.
Oh, absolutely. Just like losing Angus. I mean, that was a big thing. And building the pond, I mean, it kind of, at the time that they very first started playing with it, and it was just a mud hole. It was kind of gross, but they loved that and just playing in the mud and playing in the water. And now that it's a full pond and we swim in it so often, everything changes. And, you know, the number of cattle that we have changes and chickens change, come and go, and just everything about and our schedule changes. I mean, whether the kids are so busy with their sports and when they're not, and just it just really helps me to remember to slow down and stop. And one very, very important thing to us, and I think it's in there somewhere, is sitting down for a family meal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's something that happens 6 out of 7 days a week. I'd like to say 7, but 6 out of 7 days a week. I'll give the kids a snack and get them something to eat before Dave gets home if he's going to be really late that night, because it's important. All TVs are off, all phones, we don't answer, that kind of stuff. We sit down and just spend time as a family talking, and it just keeps us close, and it's just something I appreciate.
That's probably a metaphor for the whole book. I mean, listening to Becky and over the period of time, it's slowing things down to see something clearly. You know, I wanted the book to be able to do that, and I think they, as reading over the book, became able to appreciate, you know, sort of the stillness that, you know, when the water is still, you can see your reflection in it. When it's all agitated and you're jumping in, you know, you can't see anything. And I think the pages of the book hold that kind of a mirror up to the family, so even they were able to see something about the preciousness of their their particular experience.
I don't remember whether it was you, Chase, or maybe Kane, but who really felt strongly about living on a farm or living in the country again because he loved the quiet. I can't remember. Was that you, Chase?
I know. I really love the quiet, but my favorite time of the year is springtime because before I got really sick, what I would do every day after school, I'd run up the driveway after I got off the bus. Angus was always waiting for me because he knew I was coming. And I'd say, Angus, where are the cows at? And we'd go explore the fields and walk the fields. And that was my favorite time of the year, was springtime, because I felt like I was a big part of the farm. It was my job to go and see if we had new calves or anything like that. And that's always been one of my favorite things to do. So I think that's really what's going to determine I will have a farm when I get older.
What are your jobs at the farm now? Is it pretty much the same or has it changed?
You get more responsibilities as you get older. Like, you're able to do more things like driving tractors and just being on the wagons when you're baling hay. And like in the wintertime, you have a lot of cows in the barn that need to be fed corn and square bales and things like that. But you always stay a part, and your part just gets bigger and bigger as you get older.
Well, speaking of Chase is making light of the idea of baling and square bales, but you know, when you think about a 70-pound bale, I did some little math for them, that the two boys are basically going to lift about 210,000 pounds in a sort of baling season. You know, catching a 70-pound bale that's flying at you in the air and helping it land and then stack on a wagon. This is no need to have a personal trainer.
Right. Yeah, it's just natural. You said you were sick. Did you say before you were sick?
Yeah. I got sick. I had been losing weight, and just for 4 years, it was just getting worse and worse, and we found that I had a brain tumor, and that was like a year ago, and we had to kind of cut down the operation a little bit. We had to sell a lot of our cattle. We were down to like 10 or 12 now, and it's made it a lot easier, but that's all.
It's just another one of those experiences that make you slow down, and it's like appreciate every moment. Yeah. And he's very healthy now. So
yeah, he looks. You're the picture of health, actually, Chase.
Thank you.
Hey, Allie, is there a job that you're looking forward to as you get older that you would like to do on the farm, or is there a job that you don't want to do?
I probably don't want to do the dogs.
Anything you're looking forward to? Nothing.
You're pretty good at canning, you know, and pickling stuff and working in the kitchen.
Garden?
There's
kitchen?
Always the wintertime and ice skating on the pond.
Oh,
I know
boy.
She loves to do that.
It sounds like Garden of Eden. So thanks for sharing it with us today, Becky Bennett.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And Chase Bennett, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Allie Bennett, I'm glad you could join us today. And Gray, you're over there. Thanks a lot, Gray. And Michael Rosen, author of the book Our Farm, Four Seasons with Five Kids on One Family Farm. It's a fabulous book. Hope you enjoy it sometime. That's all the time we have today on All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820, NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from Palmer Miller Nelson Insurance Agency Incorporated, serving Central Ohio homeowners and businesses for 155 years. 261-6300 or online at pmnins.com.